Good morning. It's funny how things end up working out. I started out with an idea for a homily. I was asking Parker this morning, how come when a layperson gets up here and speaks, it's a homily, but you get a pastor up here and they speak and it's a sermon? But the initial thing I did was ask myself a question, which I do from time to time, and usually it's a question where there's no answer. This one was, is there a Jesus without a Judas? And the original thought process was, what would things have been like if Judas hadn't betrayed Jesus? But it's kind of funny because as I started to write that one, it changed. I started to read a little bit more and do as much research as I could, and got very intrigued by this guy Judas. So it kind of went more towards, who was this guy Judas? And as I went through his story, and there was as much information as I could find on him, and put that into the context of the life of Jesus, then it pretty much all came down to one word in the end. And I don't know how it got there, but that word was forgiveness. So in the long run, I guess today's service is not going to be on what, you know, is there a Jesus without a Judas? But it's going to be a little bit more about forgiveness. Something I think we all need to know about and need to do. Especially when someone gets up and talks longer than you expected them to. That was the ad-lib part. Now I go to the script.
Thank you, Jack.
Have you ever had someone do something or say something to you or about you, just made you mad in some way? I'm sure there isn't anyone here that can't answer yes to that question. But the thing is, no matter what someone does, somewhere, somehow, you do have to find a way to forgive. Because otherwise, let's face it, you wouldn't have a lot of friends or family or people around you if you didn't forgive the occasional mess up. I don't say forget, since there are some instances where what's done is bad enough that you can never forget it. But in the end, forgiven. Whether it was something done with malicious or with no malicious intent, or whether it was done to specifically hurt you. Sometimes I think the act of forgiveness is one of the hardest aspects of being a Christian. The whole turn the other cheek syndrome. I found, like many of you probably, that all the turning the other cheek does is get you smacked on the other side, and there's very little satisfaction. But if you look closely at a lot of the Christian philosophy, it's rooted in that one word, forgiveness. After all, as imperfect human beings being judged by a perfect God, we're destined to forever fall short, but count on that forgiving God to wash away our sins. World history is rife with betrayals of people and nations. A study of the life of Julius Caesar would be incomplete without an account of the traitorous act of his friend Brutus. Et tu, Brute? One of the few things I remember from high school Shakespeare. Okay, one of the only things I remember from high school Shakespeare. To learn the whole story of the American Revolution, you'd have to examine the actions of Benedict Arnold. And, of course, what Christians would have to see is the greatest betrayer of all, Judas Iscariot. Someone that I think a majority of Christians today and throughout history have probably had a problem with finding a way to forgive. But you have to wonder whether the Jesus we follow today would have been the same if on that fateful day Judas hadn't betrayed his master. We all know the story how Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and turned him over to the authorities for trial before Pilate. Of course, Judas wasn't the only one to betray Jesus in the end. Peter and the other disciples either denied him or failed to, if not protect him, at least join him in his punishment and crucifixion. But the written accounts seem to gloss over this for the most part, or at least don't seem to make it the ultimate betrayal as they do the part of Judas. And Pilate would have been fine with whipping him and driving him into exile if the crowds hadn't been so set on seeing him killed. So again, every man and woman in that crowd shouting, "Crucify him," was guilty of the betrayal of the Savior. I think Pilate knew that by bowing to the wishes of the crowd and martyring this man Jesus, that his fame and his message would grow. So maybe the scorn heaped on Pilate should be forgiven too. After all, he was only doing his job and giving in to the wishes of the masses. But for now, let's focus on this guy we all know as Judas Iscariot. Betrayer of Jesus. That's probably what most of us think about immediately when we hear the name Judas. But we have to also remember he was one of Jesus' chosen disciples, one of the 12 who not only followed this man Jesus, but helped to spread his ministry. But who was this guy Judas Iscariot? Well, here I ran into a little bit of a problem. It's presumed from his name, meaning a man of Kariath, that this was his place of birth, a city in Judah. This separates him from the other disciples, since they were all Galileans. But of the man Judas, we know very little. We can infer some things, and there are hints about him, but that's about it. For instance, the name his parents gave him indicates that he probably came from a loving home. You can find in the Old Testament that Judah, or Judas, was the name of one of the 12 sons of Jacob, who each headed up one of the 12 tribes of Israel. History books record that the brilliant uprising for Jewish independence in 164 BC was led by a man named Judas Maccabeus, a man who was sort of a George Washington figure to the Jews. So when Judas Iscariot was born, his parents picked what was in their day one of the best names any boy could have. As he grew, they no doubt raised him like other Jewish boys and with a thorough understanding of Jewish history. So as you can see, Judas probably had a very good start in life. Another thing we can infer from the New Testament, that Judas, at least at the beginning, apparently had no obvious vices. He had no dishonorable past like the tax collector turned disciple, Matthew Levi. Most of the other disciples were known for some weakness prior to their following Jesus. Simon Peter was famous for his impulsiveness, James and John for their temper, but nothing uncomplimentary is mentioned about Judas's character. So the mystery is that Judas was an admired person with great promise in life. If in some way Judas, prior to his betrayal of Jesus, were to have attended this church, he would no doubt have been highly regarded. We'd probably have been very glad to have him in our membership. I say this because he seems to have been a model citizen. The Bible never says that he pushed himself on Jesus, as did James and John. It says nothing about him ever making rash promises or big boasts like Peter. He seemed to be quiet, businesslike, and respectable. Yet the perplexing truth is, he chose to sell out the Messiah. We know he was the treasurer of the group. In John chapter 12, verse 6, he writes, "As he had the money box, he used to take what was put into it." So condemning him as a betrayer isn't enough, but let's also call him a thief. But of the man Judas, we never hear how he was called to discipleship, or very little of the part he took in the ministry of the disciples. I have to assume, since the books of the Bible were chronicling the life of Jesus, was of course written well after these events took place, I would think those that wrote about this wouldn't have held Judas in very high regard, and so would limit his story to the greatest part being the betrayal. This isn't to say he didn't deserve the scorn, but still, I wonder. As Christians, we're brought up believing that Jesus was the Son of God, and I don't dispute that. But what made this guy Jesus so special? Okay, his birth was a bit different, the Immaculate Conception and all. And the host of angels showing up probably meant it wasn't just your ordinary baby being born in that stable in Bethlehem. And leaving aside the miracles that are written about, personally, I've always figured miracles are about 10% truth and 90% what people want to believe. But it can't be disputed he was a great orator and philosopher. Then again, at that time in world history, there were quite a few who seemed to have a gift for these things. John the Baptist, the other disciples, to name a few. And I'm sure there are quite a few others that were never written about. And they could probably captivate a crowd just as well. And yet, here we are, 2,000 plus years later, still talking about this one man. With all the stories about the life of Jesus, look at what we concentrate on the most. Of course, Christmas, celebrating his birth, is a fairly large event during the year. But even that's overshadowed in the Christian calendar by the season of Lent, leading up to the miracle of Easter. Now stop and think about that. If Jesus hadn't died on the cross, been buried, and risen, a big chunk of the Christian philosophy would be missing, or at least very different. And you have to wonder if the whole thing would have taken off as it did. So if Judas hadn't betrayed his master, leading to the events that took place, the trial, the punishment, the crucifixion, and the resurrection, would we be worshiping the same Jesus that we're all sitting here today celebrating? I'd like to think in some ways that we would be. At least the message of peace and understanding that he proclaimed is the way the world should be. And who knows, if he had lived a long life, maybe that message would have borne the fruit it was meant to, and the world we live in would be the paradise we all know it could be and wish it was. Or maybe he would have just become another in the long line of crazy philosophers that part of the world seemed to turn out regularly. And all we know would be different. Better? Worse? Who knows? So for us to have the comfort of the Christian faith we all live, what happened in that garden needed to happen. And Jesus knew this. Whether he explained this to Judas, we'll never know. It's written that Jesus said to Judas, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Which leads us to believe that Jesus knew what was coming and knew that it had to happen. Being a human, even a God in human form, I have to think it scared him as much as it would any one of us. And some accounts have been written chronicling his time of doubts. But when I read the line of Jesus saying, "What you are going to do, do quickly," in my own mind, it told me that he knew that if it wasn't done quickly and he had time to think about it, he might just change his mind. And who could blame him given what was to come next? So looked at this way, Judas's part was possibly one of the more important roles ever played in Christian history. And we need to be, if not grateful, at least forgiving that he played it so well. By fulfilling the part of the betrayer of the Christ, he set the stage for what was to be one of Jesus' final acts, and one of his greatest. The act whereby he would set in motion the basis for the legacy he left for us to continue. So when all is said and done, we have to assume that Judas played the part that was laid out for him. And he did it well, even if in the end he became the fall guy. And what did Judas get from all of this? Not even the 30 pieces of silver, which it says that he threw back at the feet of the chief priests. He ended up dying, some say by his own hand. Actually, in my research, I read one account from more of a fringe element of the Christian faith, that he may have killed himself in order to meet again with Jesus, to beg his forgiveness. And I'd like to think Jesus gave it to him. But what we do know that he got for playing his part so well was the scorn of his colleagues and generation after generation of Jesus' followers. So while I'll stop short of saying we should thank Judas for his betrayal and what it brought to all of us, maybe we should at least try to understand that it was the way things had to be, and thus an act that as Christians we can in the end forgive. So it does make me wonder, would there have been, is there a Jesus without a Judas? I'd like to finish with a great answer to that question, but I guess we'll never know.